two arms and a torso moving while the legs planted.
It's probably all keyboard shortcuts. It's keyboard shortcuts.
So that's a they macroed all the movements on Voltron. Just quick hotkey. Yeah. They have one of the fancy 12-button mice, you know.
Was everyone colorblind? There's somebody who's... Why is the red guy piloting the black one?
It's okay.
The blue guy's in the red one. I'm so confused.
Well, you know, that's because the people doing the coloring weren't the people writing the script.
I thought the first episode, which we rarely get to see, there was a guy who wore a black suit who originally piloted the Black Lion and goes into a coma. And everyone moves up a lion except for the yellow and the green guy.
That's right. Well, they get the princess in there to take his place. I hate myself for knowing that.
Yeah. I like vividly remember that.
Oh, because you hate Lion Voltron.
I don't hate Lion Voltron. I'm just a big fan of Vehicle Voltron. Their mission seemed to make better sense to me. They were looking for other planets to colonize, and that seemed cool. They had air, water, and land team. And very cool, very fun.
And what was the mission of Lion Voltron?
To just protect this planet from the badasses. I'm serious. A reactionary government is never, you know, a good one. You have to be a proactive. You have to get out there, and you have to squash the enemy.
So you're a Decepticon, you're not an Autobot.
That's why I hate Optimus Prime.
I was going to say, so you're a Decepticon, you're not an Autobot.
That's right.
This is pretty proactive now.
Yeah. After 4 million years of war, and the whole planet is wrecked, and all of his best friends died, and job, Optimus. The planet came back.
It did.
Crappy shape.
Well, it's still bad, though. I'm sure Cybertron was never like a pleasant place to hang out for.
Yeah, actually, it was.
Well, it looks nasty. It looks good.
It's a bunch of robots.
His best idea
would be totally different than ours.
Exactly. It's that moment where he could have taken Megatron's unconditional surrender and chose to punch him in the face.
Well, Megatron deserved it.
I love Megatron.
I do too, but he still deserved it.
I love Galvatron.
In that instance,
he could have taken his unconditional surrender, then punched him.
You don't like Galvatron. You like what Galvatron represents, which is a cooler version of Megatron.
I like Leonard Nimoy Galvatron.
I was just gonna say I like Leonard Nimoy Galvatron.
Yeah, but he was Megatron with more attitude.
Right. He was Megatron with that. I do like the third season.
Well,
I thought Ron and Moose and Galvatron were more interesting.
In what?
The third season of Transformers.
Yes.
I thought Ron and Moose
before
was
they got into the Headmaster stuff.
Yes. Before I like Headmaster stuff though.
I didn't mind that. But yeah, just before that, I thought, was a really good Transformer.
Yes, that's what I'm
before,
saying.
Before, like,
season.
Zombie Optimus came back.
Yes.
Oh,
third
my
season.
Gosh. What yes, happened?
Rodimus.
Are we really following this guy?
Yeah, I know.
I couldn't believe that.
Yeah, no,
even as a young boy.
Is my favorite.
I couldn't believe that.
Because Rodimus was a more interesting leader.
Yeah.
He made mistakes.
That's what made him interesting.
Yeah.
He was not in... They doubted his orders.
Exactly.
Of course.
Yeah. And Galvatron was nuts.
Shitty order.
Yeah.
They were. They were, but he didn't know.
He didn't know. He was still learning.
Yeah, well, see, and that goes to say, you know, the fact that he was a better leader because he was fallible is exactly why Enterprise is more interesting than Next Generation.
He's got a good point there.
OG is better than Next Generation in terms of that.
Sure. Because
Kirk was way more fallible than Picard.
You could say that
Kirk is a better captain than
Enterprise.
Archer.
Yeah, Enterprise was definitely trying to capture that feel.
They didn't know they were going to win. They messed up all the time.
Yeah.
See, my problem is...
There were no rules.
They were making the rules.
They were making the rules, and I get that, but...
Kirk just thought he was too good to follow rules.
You know, when
Kirk is an arrogant bastard.
Was
he
first
is kind of
being
an a-hole.
Like,
he is an a-hole.
You know, rumored about... There were rumors about Pike and not Archer, so going into Enterprise, I'm thinking, and they called it Enterprise. That was the only name. It was about the captain before Kirk. I'm like, oh, we're going to see Pike. That's going to be interesting to see what, like, a younger
Time-wise,
Spock would have been like
work.
With a different captain.
Yeah, no. You get, like, a half a season out of that, dude.
Yeah. We don't know how long Pike was
actually,
captain.
If you go off history, I think Pike was in charge of the Enterprise for 20 years.
No. Yeah, he was. No, not 20 years, but he was captain for like 10 years. No,
but here's the thing. You can't get that much. Pike was always under the Federation.
Well, right. I didn't want to go this far back. There actually is no official Star Trek canon that states when Pike actually took the Enterprise.
Correct.
The non-Star Trek canon, the memory beta.
Yes.
Right.
states that Pike was like 3 or 4 years before they found that planet, and he was all screwed
up. But you know
up.
What? That's about how long Enterprise was. Yeah. I thought it was longer. 3 or 4 years.
No. No.
And in all fairness, maybe I'm thinking I hate that it.
Maybe it was April.
It's I don't like the maybe look of that Enterprise at it.
Yeah.
They, we're moving on. Moving on.
Yeah, let's move on off of Star Trek. What else? Gravitational waves.
That's where
found
we started.
We found some.
Found them.
Using lasers.
Using lasers.
Using
did we
lasers.
Do an introduction?
Lasers in space.
We haven't.
We should do introductions. Go ahead, Larry.
You start. Do an
yeah, might as well. We've brought it up.
Man, okay.
What, are we going to not do it and then bring it up later? And
maybe.
Decide?
We could kind of tease, you know, the whole time.
Tease the intros.
What we're going to do, we're going to tease an intro every episode, kind of like Glenn dying. We're going to tease it every episode.
Actually, you know what? I want to talk about this week. Because I actually watched it for the first time in a long time.
I'm your host, Lawrence of America.
We actually are going to do the intro.
With me today is...
The Insufferable Jules.
Oh, nice.
I finally just accepted the title. I am damned insufferable.
Adam.
RSD.
And I am Gomer. I'm the unbeatable Gomer.
Oh, you're unbeatable now.
Laser eyes.
You are irredeemable. You are absolutely irredeemable. You tried to take unbeatable. That's
unbeatable, like Squirrel Girl.
She is unbeatable.
It's a good book, though.
It is. It actually is a good book.
It is a good book. And I love her in Extraordinary.
Not Extraordinary. New.
New.
Yeah.
I like that book
there's
a lot,
way
actually.
Too many adjectives in the Marvel Universe.
The last issue was
right
cool.
Way too bad. There really is.
It's hard for me to keep up.
The last issue was really good.
And the solicits for like a few months from now look awesome. They lose the island. The Avengers take their island. I can't wait.
I can't wait to read that.
Yeah.
Actually, the Al Ewing books are the two best Avengers books right now.
What's the other one?
Ultimates.
Oh, yes.
Ultimates.
I can't wait to get home and read that. That's going to be the first book I read. Since I already read all the other books that I like to read.
Yeah, and Captain Marvel actually is like my other favorite. It's not.
It's way early for me to say that, but
I
really
like
it.
I really like how it's tied into that Ultimates book.
They've added, and I hate that books kind of do this, they've added a mystery spaceship. Here's some mystery we have to figure out. It just seems cheap. All these books do that. There's a mystery. Why
does
everything got to be freaking Detective Comics? Why? Because it's that damn good.
Because there's no detective work happening in the actual Detective Comics.
Anarchy. I'm rereading Anarchy by Manipul Bucciletto.
It
is a really good novel. Yes. Scooby-Doo's relaunching here in a few months.
You know what else is actually a really good one that just came out in trade thing. You can buy here at Comic City too is Fade Out. Speaking of really good.
Oh,
mystery.
Fade Out is that's a wrap.
That's a wrap.
Three volumes.
Yes. Third volume.
Multiple
out today.
Eisner nominations, multiple
it's
awards.
A phenomenal book, actually.
Amazing book. I read 6 issues.
It's such
awesome.
A good book. It's such a good
you told
book.
Me to read it.
I told
I've been
you.
Trying so hard.
It's actually a really cool story.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's
so
fun.
Far.
It's
good
fun.
Characters.
It's good.
Well, gravitational waves.
Gravitational waves.
We keep hopping around. We need to pick up the sail.
Let's stay on gravitational waves. We have these things in Louisiana and Washington State called LIGO. It's a laser infrarometer gravitational observatory.
Very good.
Dude, I know.
Good job. Good job. You get an award for that.
And they both got the same signal, and they figured out that it's these two black holes that smacked into each other and spit out some gravity waves, and now, And it's cool. It really doesn't do anything, like, for more than science.
Yeah.
But it's huge. It proves a lot of stuff that we already thought was.
It'll lead to more things being
exactly.
And it'll improve technology and how they read the laser.
Eventually, maybe if we get get some of these, detection devices that are a little bit more sensitive, we'd be able to map the Oort cloud and be able to track things and see if they're going to crash into us. A lot easier.
Hopefully, they'll
because,
the money to do so.
Yeah, because now we're doing that by light, and it's hard to see out there. It's really dark. So if we can pick up minute waves of gravity coming from these objects,
they can start pinpointing them.
That's a
long time
from now.
But at least with the baby steps.
I know, but that's a small.
Has it really been since
but that's just a
proposed theory till it's actually
100 years.
Well, that's only 100 years.
True.
It's a blink.
I know.
But technology-wise,
it's
100 years?
Still. Yeah, you're right. But it's a big jump from detecting two black holes crashing into each other than detecting a couple of rocks hanging out in space.
True,
so
the technology
I know. No, I agree with
based
you.
Based off of it, it could be 40 years.
I think we should fund it and get it
done. Well, I was gonna say now, technology now proofs. All you gotta do is.
How long was it before man first dreamed of flying and they actually flew?
Oh my god.
Then how long was it between flight and going to space?
Right. Yes.
Technology increases exponentially.
Not even 150 years?
Okay. How long ago did the computer...
63?
Yeah. Something like that, yeah. Good math, guys.
Good math. How long ago was, you know, the internet become a thing to the point I have it now on my phone?
Yeah, that's true.
How long?
That's what I'm saying, from when the internet first started
to now I have it on my phone.
There was commercial opportunities there that people put research and development into miniaturizing it and making it, you know,
but there's
more
commercial applications for this.
There are. You're right.
They want it.
You're right. We're already doing space travel and talking about going further out. The first billionaires will be made in space. Trillionaires. The first trillionaires.
Domino's is actually sponsored. The Japanese space station, to the point that in the first international space base, we'll have a Domino's in it.
Oh, nice. Wow, that's awesome.
I hate pizza from Domino's.
Yeah, they're in the Ninja Turtles movies. That's about all I care.
I prefer local places. Local.
Yeah.
They're always
fair
local.
Enough.
Yeah.
But,
we know, I just thought that was pizza. Just letting
very
you know.
Quickly.
Now, pizza's in space.
Lasers.
Pizza commercial opportunity.
Oh, there you go, Larry. I see where you were going
pizza's
with that.
Pizza's in space with lasers.
Pizza's in space.
Because, I mean, if we put a base there, there's going to be a Starbucks, a McDonald's, a Hilton.
If there's Starbucks from there, guys, I'm in space.
It won't be a base. It'll have to Starbucks. Be a colony.
Yeah, it'll have to be a colony. Right. He's right.
A vacation resort.
Right. There you go. That's what I want. Moon vacation? Dude, that'd be the best.
Oh, that would be great.
You got to go through gravity therapy, depending on how long you stay.
Yeah, that sounds terrible.
I don't know. But I think by the time they build the base and all that, they'll work that gravity issue out.
Oh, man, I want to do it.
It'd be cool.
I want to go to the moon. I'll be long dead.
Just think.
Nah, don't bet on it.
I'll be long dead.
You know, it flies to the space station, jump over to the moon, spend a weekend.
Go to Mars.
Back, nah.
Take a round trip to Mars, you know, 18 months.
That might be a little
18
different.
18 months, you know.
Round trip to Mars
nothing.
Might be a little different.
Nothing.
Moon isn't that.
Speaking of go to Mars and work, dude, 18 months. If internet is what it is, we'll be able to work on our trip to Mars. Right?
Any day now.
Right?
Any day now.
Well, in theory.
Yeah.
If we're going to Mars,
depending on what you do. It'd be hard for you to sell comic books from Mars.
Right.
But you can own the first comic book.
I was just going to say, but now if you're owning the only comic book shop on Mars.
I think they'd probably go digital.
But even then, you can only digitally buy it from this one store. You have to physically go in, pay the guy,
and then
he'll give you.
I'm pretty sure that UPS shipping charge to Mars will be pretty
unreal.
No, what it would.
And you're gonna be a little behind by the time it gets there.
No.
Perpetually sick.
It wouldn't. It'd be just like magazines. They bounce the signal to the satellite. They print it locally.
Yep.
With what paper?
The Mars rice paper.
The Mars cheese.
The recycled papers from last month's previews.
That's the only way you could get comics.
We don't recycle those.
Last month.
Reclamated toilet paper.
Let them stack up.
Yeah. What else is in the talking?
You know what just came, just wrapped out, speaking of Mars space travel. If you got around to watching all 9 episodes of The Expanse.
Oh, you know,
it was
I'm
actually
still
a good watch.
Find that somewhere.
It's,
I was unable to find it.
Yeah, it was on Sci-Fi. So
I think I have to have
like a subscription.
A cable subscription. Which makes no sense to me at all. But go ahead.
But it was actually a really good show. I was really pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, it'll get there. Yeah, I heard it was
quality.
Driven by special effects.
It was, but the story's good too.
Okay.
Just
good though.
Actually, so it takes place in a not so far off.
What would you compare it to, Jules?
I would say
I don't want a synopsis.
It's a hi-fi Game of Thrones. It's a hi-fi science fiction Game of Thrones.
Oh, where are they? In a colony or in spaceships?
So they're in the solar system. Has been colonized. The main parties are the UN that controls Earth, the Marine military that controls Mars, and a lot of the characters work on the asteroid belt because water has become the most precious resource between both.
Okay.
Now,
so
people
the
who
asteroid
grew up,
belt is
yes,
independent.
Yes. So the asteroid belt was just trying to fight for independence because people who live on the belt grow up without gravity. So they're taller, and they have no natural light, so they have no pigmentation. So they're considered to be less than human, because they're not technically human because of the way their bone structure and cellular structure is a little different.
Holy crap, that sounds so neat.
Yes, it is, it's really neat. So the tensions between Mars and Earth are already, like, about to come to an end. Meanwhile, the Belters are asking for independence.
They call them themselves Belters. Holy shit.
Yeah.
The characters
you follow are, like, people who work on a mining ship, a detective who works on one of the space stations in the belt, a representative in the UN, and a guy who's a member of the Martian military.
Right.
And there's another group called the OPA that works separate from everybody. I forget.
Oh, damn. I bet it's something cool.
It's something cool, too, though. But you follow as everyone's sort of... You can't tell... And I'm not gonna tell you what happens, but you can't tell if both sides or if all three sides are getting played by one party, or the tension's building so high that no one knows who to trust anymore.
There's gonna be another season.
Oh yeah, it's already been renewed for a second season. And,
nice. And it's
on
based
top of that,
off a book.
Yes, it's based off a book series. And the special effects are unreal, actually,
that's what
for
I've
television.
Heard. That's the biggest.
Forget that the story
that
is actually worth watching. Because the story is actually pretty freaking good.
That sounds interesting.
What's his name? The Punisher
like
that is in...
Thomas Jane.
Thomas Jane is one of the main characters.
Oh, he's a detective.
And the guy who played...
he's the detective, right?
Yes, yes, he's
How
the detective.
How did I know that? Because I could be a cast director. What's
the dude?
Was
the Tyrese from Walking Dead.
This
is
dude
awesome
knows nobody's
name. No, I know
You know, the
name.
Guy from that one thing. Is it?
I'm not
it
a big television guy,
guys. He was in the show with the people.
I'm not a big television guy.
Yeah.
I know actors I care about.
Yeah. We don't care about Tyrese. So.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I didn't care about The Walking Dead at that point.
Now, it's done, though?
Yes, all nine episodes are done.
It should be on Netflix soon.
Because sci-fi always dumps their stuff on Netflix.
And I watch a lot of that stuff.
It's worth a watch. I finished the last episode recently.
Awesome.
I was actually impressed with the high quality in writing, science fiction, and effects.
Effects. I'm all about effects.
And you know, for sci-fi, I just expect B effects, and I was really impressed with the movie quality effects that they have the entire
movies do have B effects, but,
yeah,
but like their
C
TV
or
shows.
C or D effects.
Their TV shows, they do step it up a couple of notches.
Yeah.
TV shows.
They're trying to step up with their TV shows. They're trying to get back to where they were with, like, Battlestar Galactica.
Yes.
And
it has that feel.
And the Stargate shows were. Those were on sci-fi.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, Farscape. I loved Farscape. Farscape had great quality for its time.
Those were quality. But, you know, they were like those Saturday morning shows or Saturday afternoon
Farscape,
shows.
Farscape, you know, had the Henson department.
Yeah,
Brian
Henson was all behind that show.
Definitely.
It was a different kind of effect. It still gave it a very lighthearted feel to it. I mean, it was very good.
It felt like Exiles.
Yes, it was. It's very much the Exiles
in space.
In space,
instead of going to multiverse. Yeah.
Well, it was also like Voyager if everyone was an awful person, because he was in the middle
instead
of
instead of just half of them being awful persons.
Yeah. Instead of exactly, so everyone was an awful person.
Yeah.
Because they didn't know where they were going. The
Dude,
whole
we got
series.
A long drive.
Yeah, we got a long. Voyager is the last one.
It is.
Yeah,
there's
DS9
some time there where
up.
they overlap.
Yeah,
it's going to be a lot of fun.
There's
we'll
a,
talk
there's
about
some
that
time
later.
Where,
sorry.
Like, all three of them overlap.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Well, what else is in the heyday news?
Oh, Daredevil. Trailer dropped.
Yeah.
John Bernthal looks like a really scary Punisher.
It looks quite good. Some of the dialogue that they took from there is
an interesting choice.
It's an interesting choice. There's a part where, you know, Daredevil's kind of shitting on the Punisher for killing people, and he's like, well, when I hit them, they stay down.
Yeah.
And if they play off that for the whole season...
Well, I like that line.
Because it
just...
really, Daredevil being the darkest character, so to speak. You know, he does beat the crap out of people. Even though Hulk is, they're obviously killing people. It's a brighter sort of thing.
Yeah.
That's a really dark element to bring. Yeah. Because, why not?
Wasn't the line,
why
you're
not?
One more, you're one bad day away from being me?
Exactly.
Yeah. I love that. That was a good way to pitch that in, was like,
Yeah.
You know, he pretty much calls him out. He's like, dude, so
from the Joker, though.
Yeah, well, true. We can talk about some Batman, too. Batman's coming to a close. I think we should talk about the whole damn room.
We'll talk about it in just a second.
We could have a whole special podcast based on
that. I will say, when I first heard John Bernthal was being announced as Punisher, I'm not the biggest Punisher fan. I was pretty excited.
I'm a fan of him.
I'm a fan of him.
I like Shane him. Shane was a very... Oh, even though people didn't like Shane... Shane was interesting. He did a... Well, a lot of people
didn't. He did a character that I didn't care for in the comic books a lot of justice.
Agreed.
And made him
yes.
more likable in terms of
okay,
he
Shane
played the character.
The Shane in the comic books was a throwaway character.
Yeah, true. I totally agree. That's what I'm saying.
He was a plot point.
Shane was pivotal for the first three seasons. And I think it was the acting that really sold it because he had such a dramatic shift in that I think he's going to be able to play the Punisher character really well.
Right, right. What I've seeing seen. The character, you know, Shane on TV show, I could definitely see that fitting for Punisher.
Definitely.
Character.
And I'm stoked. How much intense. Backstory do you think we're going to get on?
You know, I think it's going to be like last season in terms of instead of having Kingpin story, you'll have Punisher story episodes.
Okay, where they flash back?
Where they flash back.
Yeah, he'll definitely have a flashback.
Yeah. I think, you know how the first season was like, the first half of the season was all Daredevil and the last half of the season was all Kingpin?
Yes.
Yeah. I think you'll do the same thing this season.
I think they'll
fill in the gaps.
The only reason they focused on the Daredevil character so much is because they had to introduce...
So maybe Elektra and Punisher. Maybe the first half is Punisher and the second half is Elektra.
And that's what I'm saying. Where is Elektra going to feed into this? Are we going to see Bullseye?
I think we will see the hand, though. I think Elektra comes from... Because Nobu.
So by the end of
Nobu
the movie...
Nobu is
the,
our
Sorry,
our
I almost said movie. And really, this is just a nine-hour movie that Marvel's decided to do. Like, we can't contain
is
ourselves.
Is it only nine episodes?
I think it's nine episodes.
I thought it was 13.
It's 13.
It's 13. Oh it's every
but they're not a full hour, are they?
Yeah.
Dude, every episode I don't have time. I need another day in
you
my
still haven't
week.
Seen Jessica Jones, right?
Well, my kids won't go to sleep at a normal time. I can't watch that in front of my children.
There's a lot
of sex going on.
I had to, like...
There is. There's a lot.
I don't know, man. I had to... Me and Elaine had an argument with
you're
not
taking them to Deadpool, then.
Oh, no. No,
which
we will get to that in a second.
It's so funny people bitched about that not being appropriate for their kids.
It's not appropriate for
is
they
because it was
that.
Written by your children for your children. There was nothing about that. The humor, it felt like it was written for 12-year-olds.
It is.
I never felt like...
It is an angry 12-year-old's movie.
It is an angry 12-year-old's movie.
Deep down, it's a deep down inside.
Oh, I enjoyed it.
Most working adult males, really, are angry 12-year-olds.
Well, I guess I'm not, because I hated the movie.
So, no, you just
what?
Hate
let's go back to,
I hate it.
Let's go back to Daredevil for a second.
Yeah.
So by the end of the series, Frank and they're going to be working together.
Well, that's my kid.
Against the hand, is what you're saying.
What I think...
I don't think that's going to happen.
No.
What's going to happen by the end? He's going to take down Frank. He's going to have to kill Frank a la...
No, because there's
Zod
talks
and
about...
Superman.
No, there's talks about if this season goes well, Frank will get his own series.
Right. Oh, you think?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. People love The Punisher.
Why do we need 100 freaking Marvel series?
Because they make money.
Because they make money. And you know what? You haven't seen a bad one yet, so let's not argue.
Some people have that kind of
because
time.
They're still trying to figure out what they're doing with Iron Fist. Because if they're gonna make Iron Fist a movie,
I don't understand what's the problem with Iron Fist. I don't understand why they can't get their shit together.
But I don't understand either. I like the idea that they're gonna give me Moon Knight instead.
I think they're trying to figure out where he fits in with the success that they've had on Netflix with Daredevil.
Yeah,
and now Jessica Jones.
To Netflix, not a movie.
I think it would work on either.
It could, but I think they'll turn it into much of like a kung fu movie.
I'm okay with that.
I want it to be
a kung fu movie.
The Matrix. The Matrix is basically a kung fu movie.
Here's
the thing. Not every TV show on Netflix has to be super dark and gritty. You can have the one lighthearted kung fu TV show is Iron Fist.
That's right.
I agree. Right. So the other thing they look at is Iron Fist is a good way to in the movies continue magic after Strange.
Exactly.
They want to build up the magic world too.
And he'd be a good connector.
He's a good connector between the Avengers and Strange, which is why they want him to be in the movies.
Between he'd be a good connector between the Avengers and the Defenders.
Right.
That's true. Very true.
But that's the other thing is why they want to make Iron Fist a movie. Because they want more magic in their movies if they're going to go with Strange.
I keep hearing this, but I don't hear anything confirming
no.
that
and
Iron
they're
Fist
not,
is
they're
not
still...
going to be a Netflix show. That was originally announced, and I haven't heard anything to the contrary. Just rumors.
It shouldn't be a movie, because where are they going to put that movie?
Yeah, it'd come out,
what, 2020?
Well, here's the sad...
Later, maybe.
Well, the sad thing is they've talked about not making an Inhumans movie and making it a show instead.
No, they should still.
They could do that.
Though. They could do that.
I don't want to see an Inhumans show.
On Netflix?
No.
What? I wouldn't watch that. 13 episodes of the royal family being terrible to each other?
You basically already got that with S.H.I.E.L.D., didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I want the royal family. We're talking full Adeland royal family television show.
Well, if they did it like
we're talking
that,
about
Game of Thrones
and
Inhumans.
Human television show on Netflix.
I could see that.
I would watch that.
I could see that. I could see
Are you kidding me? Especially because of the way there's Inhumans popping up every day. That's a show I want to watch.
First season, we find out the royal family has the blue spot on the moon. By the second season, Adeline crashes in New York and in a cover.
I would watch
Holy
see?
Shit,
I would watch that show all day.
I would be watching that right now if it was a thing. That sounds
That's exactly
so
my
cool.
point. That's exactly my point. And you tie it in with the S.H.I.E.L.D. show because there's Inhumans popping up
exactly.
every time.
And they're up there saying, so all right, we need to intervene.
Yes.
These Inhumans, they figured it out.
Freaking,
we need to
you
get
see
down
the,
there
like, they did in the Inhumans book. Medusa appears, if you're an Inhuman, you now have a new safe haven.
No, I'd like to see him on the moon and then have shit hit the fan with Inhumans that they invite up there. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And have them...
And show the Beyonder, or not the Beyonder, but the Watcher.
I still like the theory that Stan Lee's the Watcher.
Yeah, Stan Lee's the Watcher.
Stan Lee's the Watcher.
Cool. Yeah, that's like why he cameos in everything. Yeah.
Cool.
He's the Watcher.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that idea.
That would be cool.
What else is going on?
It's in the car.
Daredevil. That looks
Daredevil.
Cool.
Looks really cool.
Let's talk about Deadpool to piss rules
off.
Everybody else talking about Deadpool. It's a great movie.
It's hilarious.
I haven't seen it.
It was funny.
I haven't seen it either. People rant about Deadpool, all day.
Oh, I'm sure you have.
That
comes with the territory, Bunny.
It's very popular.
Just don't take your kids.
There's already been a paradigm shift. It looks like Wolverine 3 is confirmed to be rated R now. So
right.
They're going to add a bunch
That's
of stuff
okay
there.
With Wolverine.
It's okay with X-Force. It's okay with a Cable and Deadpool movie. It's okay with a lot of things.
Right.
X-Men,
no? No, not X-Men.
Well,
not the Avengers.
No.
And here's...
You could even do maybe like a Black Widow
here's
movie.
Here's the big thing.
That
even...
Was, you could do movies like that. But not like Avengers and things like that.
Even outside the comic book world.
But characters like that. You know, like almost B-listers. You could do what they're doing on Netflix with the Daredevil.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the point of the Netflix.
The big thing is how well this R-rated movie did as an R-rated, quote, comedy versus other R-rated
comedies.
Now, this is a big step because this was one of the few movies that was actually made... R-rated, not just
let's slap an R rating on there. Yeah,
you know, or we can't make have it R-rated, you know,
yeah.
Where the rating wasn't a considered factor in the script.
Yes, it was. They
no,
did,
it
they
wasn't.
Did, they did do an interview with Ryan Reynolds, read it on CBN, which is comic book news. They did talk about maybe, possibly, going to
he
a
PG-13.
Possibly.
Right.
But that's
but
why he became
didn't
executive.
Him yeah. writing the script.
Yeah.
He wrote the script
all that
and said this movie can't
be PG-13. All that's done by the editor. Right, and if they say,
right.
okay, we need to have this movie be PG-13, and this is what the MPA... Yeah, this is what the MPA
There's no way they could have cut that movie to be a PG-13.
Yeah, it'd be like 30 minutes long.
Actually, what they said is that they would have took a few of the F-words out, and...
The MPAA's got weird rules.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
I don't know.
Well, also, the bigger the company, the more flexible they are.
Exactly.
Big time. Big time.
Yeah, because, come on, man. You're going to tell me most of those Nolan movies are PG-13?
Which one? Yeah. Sex is usually the PG-13. What moves a PG-13
right.
to an R.
Yeah.
Usually the language, you get a certain number
that
of
that Heath Ledger Joker murders,
yeah.
like, how many people in that
so
movie?
So this is the thing with the X-Men movies Lovely. Now. I don't think X-Men movies should be R, but if
no.
Deadpool is going to be on an X-Men team and be in a PG-13 movie, and Deadpool, and Deadpool breaks the fourth wall, right?
Yeah.
They're allowed one F-word per MPAA rules
yeah.
for PG-13.
Yeah.
So Deadpool breaks the fourth wall and says, man, I only ever get one F word, I'm going to save it. And then later in the movie, Wolverine says it. And then Deadpool's like, damn it.
That's
what they're opening now over at Fox, dude. They are taking a lid off of something that can add to a synergy for everything else they have.
You know why?
And it's something that Marvel Studios is not doing.
That's exactly... Okay, here's my thing about...
They are not crossing over these ratings. But here's the thing.
You know why Fox is doing it? Because they can't think of anything else to do.
The money, to quote Kevin Smith,
the money is in the dick and fart jokes, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't think so.
That movie is the best example.
Days of Future Past was good.
It was the best X-Men movie.
Sure.
It was still only.
Yeah, and Amazing Spider-Man was the best Spider-Man movie.
So far.
That's right. Yes. But you can't say you would take that movie over any issue of X-Men ever. Even the bad stuff.
But if we're... Yeah, I don't know. But we're talking about movies.
That's what I'm saying. Fox is running out of ideas because you see the success Disney has with Marvel.
I don't think so. We're so close to having that. Suicide Squad, right?
Ugh.
If they would have added... And we don't know what it's going to be rated yet. They could still change that. They could still re-edit that and add more stuff to make it an R. Right? And they wouldn't even say a word about it. They would just say, okay, it's rated R. Because now the precedent is set.
Okay. There's no way.
If they want to make money with Suicide Squad, all they gotta do is Harley sexy.
This is the big problem.
They gotta show a trailer where she gets her top ripped off.
Exactly.
Okay, and it doesn't even have just like a hint of it.
Yes.
And they'll make a small fortune.
She doesn't even have to be. Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
This is the big problem that I think that the movie world is gonna get out of Deadpool that they shouldn't be getting out of Deadpool is. They're getting the idea now that just because the movie is rated R, they're going to get money.
This is exactly why I don't like Fox.
That's not the story with Deadpool. The story with Deadpool isn't that it's an R-rated movie that made a lot of money. The story with Deadpool is it is a movie that stayed true with the character.
And just happened to be R because of that character.
And now all these movie studios are going to rush and try to make all these R-rated
superhero movies. Suicide Squad could be R-rated.
And that's where it's going to fail.
It could be.
Because you'll have to just keep it like the comic. And then just let the MPAA put it where they will.
Yes. This is a classic example, just like Robert Downey Jr. in Iron Man. You have an actor that is a fan of the character who really wanted to do the character.
Yeah, he is, actually. He wanted to do it. John Favreau brought it to him. And he said, No. The story is John Favreau knew Robert Downey Jr. actually liked Iron Man.
That's not what I heard.
And he was like, dude, I might do that. And he was like, sign me up. I don't care, just sign me up.
I know that's how Professor...
Patrick Stewart got it.
He's like, why am I on a comic book? And he's like, well, that role is open. He's like, I'll do it. I look just like that.
Wizard magazine had been fan casting Patrick Stewart for 10 years.
But like an X-Force movie, right?
Oh, God.
Can now be R and can introduce characters who can then move over to these PG-13
movies. Two words that won't let me touch that movie.
What movie?
The next X-Force movie.
What?
Cable and Deadpool.
I wouldn't see a Cable Deadpool movie.
I know, Deadpool.
Both of those characters.
I hate both those characters.
Have you ever read Cable and Deadpool?
That book was actually a good book. And I hate both those characters.
It's such a good character.
Who was writing that?
Was it Kelly? No, it was Fabian. That was a cool guy. You know who actually is one of the Deadpool guys? And everybody hates him. Rob Liefeld.
Everybody hates Rob Liefeld, but he is one of the Deadpool guys.
He's the guy creating Deadpool. He kind of is. He created him in a new mutant, and he was just sort of like Joe Kelly and Fabian whatever his last name is. Fabian Nietzsche.
My go-to Deadpool writer, how can you not pronounce
that dude's name? Is that not a Hispanic name?
No, it's like Italian or something crazy like that.
Oh, sorry. Call in, Fabian. Let us know how to pronounce your name. send us an email.
What was I going to say? Gail Simone is my go-to Deadpool. That was the only time I really, besides Joe Kelly's run.
Well, that's why she's so popular on her other books. She does Deadpool.
Yeah. And that was actually, that was the Deadpool and Taskmaster.
Whatever it was she did, welcome to the retirement home book she did. That was good.
That was good. Okay. She wrote a lot of cool books.
Yeah, she's still writing cool books.
Yeah, no,
she's writing Secret Six.
Yeah.
She's guaranteed to be the next Secret Six writer, too. Yeah. That's her book.
Yeah, it's her book.
Yeah.
I can't believe she's still not writing Batgirl. I dropped that book the second she left, actually.
She says on Twitter all the time that she's got all kinds of great Batgirl ideas. They just won't get them.
Yeah, I know. I can't believe they did it.
Because it sells now that it has.
Yeah, and you know, I hate that because it's just gimmicky. It's not a better book. I was reading Batgirl before
that. It's not about whether or not it's a better book. It's about what sells.
Yeah, it's about what sells.
And I don't mind the new Batgirl.
I don't mind it.
The covers were cool. I wasn't reading it before.
I was reading it before.
Yeah, I wasn't reading it before.
That's I was reading it.
The only story arc of Batgirl that I read Barbara, was right?
It's still Barbara.
It's still Barbara, but it just doesn't. It's a totally different book.
What do you think? Let's go to that now, because at least we've got plenty of time. Let's move into DC since we're already on DC.
Talk about Rebirth.
Rebirth. Backtrack.
Looking back at the new 52. Okay. And what will the new 52 be post rebirth? I guess after birth.
After birth.
Will the new 52 be? Is it going to be a part of the multiverse?
It's not a reboot.
That's what they've said.
I think the continuity will still stay there. I think they're just going to start over the books and give everybody a new run. Like to kind of Marvel does every once in a while.
Yeah, when they reshuffle the deck.
Yeah,
like it all new when Bendis left
the
Avengers.
Status quo will be reset completely.
It has to be.
Batman, do you keep anything from the new 52?
I think nothing.
I think the only thing that would stay would maybe be Alfred missing.
No, that's the worst part.
It's hard to come back from being physically maimed.
No, let me just tell you, because Batman happens to be on a team with a guy who's like 70% robot. They can't get Alfred a freaking hand. What's the problem?
Give him a robot hand. He could be Luke Skywalker.
Because you know what? He doesn't want to.
Luke Skywalker,
if
Alfred.
That last issue told you anything about Alfred, he doesn't want to be a part of that world.
That is true.
It's creepy.
That was a good issue.
That was a really good issue.
I didn't think you would like that issue, though, because that was like Grant Morrison light.
I know.
It was. I was like, Jules is gonna hate this.
And it
this.
Was James City in the fourth.
Yeah.
Snyder. No, it was Snyder.
It was Snyder.
This is the one with the machine.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure James City was in on it.
Well, he co-writes a lot of
James
his stuff Tinian with Snyder.
James City did a annual or a one shot where
he does all the annuals.
It was
for that
book. No. Hold on. It was Batman of the Future.
Yeah.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
Is that the same machine?
Yes. Yes. The same machine.
Bruce perfects it later.
Yes.
That machine. Pisses me off.
I know, it's awful.
It does. It's
that machine will be gone.
Oh, yeah, no, we'll never hear about that machine again.
Oh, no, he's writing Detective Comics, so you might.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, Snyder.
So, what is he going to do against Mr. Bloom? Or is it Dr. Bloom?
It's Mr.
Is it Mr. Bloom?
It is Mr. He didn't get his. He didn't go to school that long.
Yeah, he didn't go to school.
He dropped out.
He only got a bachelor's.
He only got a bachelor's.
Mr. Freeze is a doctor, but he goes by Mr.
He goes on,
So we don't know. He may be a doctor. We don't know who this Bloom guy is. But he is one of the weirdest villains.
Oh, no, we know who this is. Did you read Zero Year?
I have no idea what his powers say.
He can,
Wait, does anyone?
He's like a tree.
Zero Year. Did anyone read Zero Year?
Yeah.
Remember the bone guy? The bone doctor? It's totally the same.
No, it's not the same guy.
It's totally the same guy.
I submit to
I think it's
Adam's
the same doctor.
Opinion
it's not
here.
The same it's guy. Not the bone guy. No, he has like the draw in the exact same
if
way.
If it was the bone guy, they would have made a deal about
now,
it.
Now didn't
but I think it's the Dr. point is why we
Bloom,
have it.
Sorry, Mr.
He was supposed
Bloom.
To be dead. The doctor from Zero Year.
So didn't Mr. Bloom give a bunch of these seed beads
to a bunch of people.
And what are they doing?
They're turning
into
things
weird
like
things.
But they're not doing anything. They're just
they're like caused.
They have
causing
pain.
Yeah. Because they can't control what they're doing.
And then they're dying, too.
I saw that.
Because the little girl, she died.
I saw that.
Off panel, because kids can't die.
On DC Comics.
Yeah. But.
Yeah, you can't Marvel, though, because they killed the mess out of the Punisher's
game. About half of the. The heroes on the Prime Avengers book are under 18.
Yeah, that's true.
At least three of them, right? And Vision, too, I guess, is technically under 18
Vision's
now.
The villain of that book.
Yeah,
yeah, dude.
I love that Vision is the villain of... Okay, that's been it's the best thing about that good. Book now.
The first three issues were crap.
They were not.
They were not great.
Now
they were a way to wrap up that Nova book that I really liked, actually.
He's doing this thing behind the scenes, Vision, just kind of spread strife throughout the team. But we were talking about DC Comics.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Well, speaking of the Vision, Tom King is going to take over Batman. I'm excited and terrified at the same time.
But the other half of that amazingly good news is Mark Silvestri is going to be the artist, right?
I know, that's mind-blowing. When was the last time Mark Silvestri did something that wasn't Witchblade or Darkness?
Dude, he did...
I'm, like, blown away. Right?
He did that book called I Magi?
No, I know that.
Not I Magi, was it? It was, like, a different...
I Mage.
I Mage, Mage something?
Mage, it was just Mage.
Then he goes to this magical world, becomes a modern-day New York City. Great book, but he was only writing it.
Yes.
He wasn't doing any of the art. He was just doing covers.
Sepcik was doing the...
No. He stood in for an issue.
He stood in for... He did, like, the first two issues.
No, he didn't even do that.
Really?
He stood in for, like, the in-between issues.
Who did the first issue? Because it was another big time...
I don't remember. There was a zero issue.
There was another top pal person.
There was a zero Free Comic Book Day issue that he did.
Okay.
And then, because I was really into that series. It's gone now. I don't think they're even doing it anymore.
Top Cow is a hot mess right now. That's why. Top Cow's always a hot mess. Top Cow's been a hot mess since day one. I mean...
It was a fun book, though.
It was.
I think he was trying to pick it up as a series.
All of the Top Cow issue ones were printed not only on Top Cow, but on CrossGen and Image, because Mark's...
That was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago.
They
could not get
this
together.
They've done a lot better.
They've done a lot better.
But now we're talking about indie books instead of DC.
DC. It's so easy to do that now.
The problem is we don't know anything.
I know. The Rebirth thing is just kind of...
You know what Amazon...
We got the Rebirth where it's like, oh, look, it's a reboot. And then the next season was, it's not a reboot. It's like, oh, Jim Lee. It reminds me of the... Have you seen the commercial with the insurance with the fisherman with the dollar in it? It's like, oh, you almost got it. I just pictured Jim Lee with a fishing pole saying, it's like, they're going to all buy Batman. Yeah. And that's all they got. It's just, come on, guys. Sell me a comic.
Yeah, my whole thing about this whole...
Sell me a comic line. I want to buy your books.
With DC right now is, I don't know if you've heard, they're all freaking out because... So they dropped that new trailer for Batman v Superman during the Super Bowl.
Oh, it looks cool.
It's their least watched trailer. They're saying, like, the hype for the movies started to drop tremendously. Nobody's talking about
Batman versus Superman.
They said that. Yes.
Warner Brothers is really worried about
Warner Brothers is all of a sudden really freaked out. They, in fact, overseas they're dropping the name Batman v Superman and it's just called Dawn of Justice. Because how many people care less? All this, the Super Bowl trailer was the least watched commercial during the Super Bowl.
Well,
because
liked
as soon as people, I guess, saw it, they're like, oh, I've seen this trailer like 5 billion times.
Yeah. And not only that,
it's been... Every trailer has spoiled more and more of the movie.
Batman holding up
and
his arm and Superman...
The hype train is continually tremendous. Dude, what, we have two Civil War trailers?
Well, let it come out.
Don't show us anything.
Let it come out.
Yeah, let it come out. It comes out next month. And the hype train has...
If it's good, it'll be good.
Right.
Guardians of the Galaxy
but they're freaking
had
out
no
about
hype.
That. No hype.
And when it was good, people went and saw it.
Right.
It did better its second week than it did its first week. And no other movie of the year had done that.
Now, I will say this. They did mention, though, that the guy playing Lex Luthor, I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
Actually, a lot of people are saying he did a very good job.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
The two.
He's in the Social Network. He's a little kid.
What's his name?
He's
Jesse Eisenberg, who also compared Comic-Con to genocide.
They said he's going to...
No, I'm not letting that go.
We didn't say he wasn't an idiot.
No,
he's in
moron.
A movie with what's-her-name from the...
Kristen Stewart.
Yeah, what is that?
They're in two movies together.
That looks cool.
American Ultra.
That looks cool.
And then they were in Adventureland together.
I saw Adventureland. It was more of like a slice of life coming of age sort of thing, and I dig those anyway.
Yeah, I do.
So,
I
liked Adventureland.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's good.
It's fun. Yeah, it's like, it's old. It's pretty old.
Yeah.
You live like in a time machine.
Well, that's only because 20 years, no TV, and all that,
but,
on the ship. You miss 300+ movies.
Yeah. So, I don't know what's going on with DC.
I just feel
I want to buy their stuff.
I want to. I just feel like, and I hate to say this, because my first comic book ever was a DC book. Green Lantern.
Yeah.
It's like, it was...
In the...
It was when Cyborg Cyborg Superman destroyed
like
a city.
Volume 2.
Oh, yes, that's volume a good 2. Issue to
that
start
was,
on.
That was my first issue
that
I
a
ever
good
read.
Issue to start on.
I watched it. I watched the end of Hal Jordan. So my only experience with Hal Jordan for the most part
is him crying,
and remaking his entire. No, dude, it's like one of. I remember being a kid thinking this was way too heavy. It's him sitting down with his high school girlfriend. That he made, he made his entire city as a construct.
I'm gonna keep reading.
I was like, wow, this book's really good. Ron Mars, man. So, I just feel like everything they've done comic book wise and almost movie wise now has seemed so reactionary to
and
what everybody else is
to
doing.
Compare the movies.
It is unfair to compare the movies.
There's only one.
Yeah. I just feel like everything comic, just comic books alone, has felt so reactionary to what Marvel has done. There was a time not so long ago where the two were so very separate that you got two very different styles of comic book that you could compare, but there wasn't enough to compare at the time. And
yes,
now, because 10 years ago, Marvel was just events. You know what I mean? The whole universe was reacting to so many
and
different things.
And then DC did events. They moved in that
and you know and DC was so it was
suit.
Cool like reading Marvel was like, man, this is cool how their whole universe is so well connected 10 years ago when the space stuff was going on and the Earth stuff was going on, but DC did such a good job of keeping everyone away from each other. Their Justice League was just B-listers at the time.
Yes
you know, all the Lantern books were really good.
What are you saying is their problem now? Is that what you're getting
into? I'm about to get into it.
I think events have been a problem with the New 52.
Exactly. Because
every Batman storyline has been an event.
Almost every
Superman storyline has been an event.
And that's where I was going with this is that...
I don't like it when my Batman in Detective Comics is the same Batman in my Batman.
You know what I didn't like? I got so used to how Marvel had become that I didn't like that DC became a reactionary event to that. It's like, hey, you know what we should do? You know how all their Avengers books tie in together, and like anything that happens in one Avengers book affects another Avengers book? Same thing with the X-Men. Let's do that to Justice League.
Let's have three
Justice League teams,
and they're all
tied together, and there's going to be a big war. And
they
I didn't like
that. It was called Trinity.
Yeah, and it was terrible.
I think what they need to do is...
Be DC. Stop trying to be Marvel. And it's
follow
it's,
Marvel.
But no, but don't.
Marvel right now, what they are doing is saying, we don't care what you do to their creators.
Mm-hmm.
Do whatever you want.
Okay,
that's
I agree
what
with
they
that
need to
that.
Tell them at DC. We don't care what you do. We don't care what universe you use. We have all these different world stories. If you want to write a Red Sun
book, I'd read that.
Let them
Actually,
do
I would
it.
Read it.
As long as it's good.
And don't tie it in.
You know, and that's, I think,
it can be tied into the overall multiverse.
Right, but not,
tie in with very loose shoes.
Right.
Not really.
Honestly, that's what makes that Omega Men book so cool, is it has nothing to do with anything that's going on.
The what?
The Omega Men book?
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with anything that's ever happened.
It's a good book. Vision, there couldn't be another Marvel book. And Vision would be good, or Vision could be in every Marvel book, and Vision would still be good. It doesn't have to be about the Vision
in
All New, All Different.
Yeah, the Vision in All New, All Different is
completely different.
But you see,
and
there's enough
okay.
of what's going on in Vision that can make the Vision that All New, All Different.
When I was seriously reading DC, it would be okay for you to read read Justice League and read Wonder Woman, and it'd be a
totally different character.
Voice.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'd be a different voice.
That's what you wanted.
You read Batman, and then you read Detective Comics, and it's different. Batman is the high fly action, you know, kicking ass. Detective Comics is he's trying to figure out who done it.
He's a detective.
Exactly.
Actually,
it's a different guy.
My problem, and we make these jokes all the time, is somewhere, at some point, the editors at DC say, let's just make money like Marvel does, because their editors do some crazy... All of a sudden, they're like, I want to be like that editor right there. Marvel has done it such a same way for so long, it's really hard to reproduce the editorial style that they have. They just have somebody who sits with a book of canon. And
you're
says,
right.
This is what's been done, and this is what
you
can't do.
You don't think they're doing that at DC, too? You don't think they're putting the investment into there?
I mean, I do, but I think they're overly zealous with their editors now.
I think that there's a higher level of micromanaging.
There is a much
I think there's
higher
a higher level of micromanaging.
I think they need to let
because
the dogs off the chain and let them run and take over. Let these creators do what creators do.
And I think that's the problem DC has, is they've said, hey, Marvel's editors are this intense. I'm sure all Marvel's editors do now is this is what hasn't been done. Go for it.
Okay. Or maybe during the event periods when everything was tightly knit. We've read the Tumblrs and the blog posts from Bendis and
they
those
totally
guys.
They totally do whatever they want.
They talked about this shit over Xbox Live.
Yes.
You know what they were going to do? Let creators create. Throw them in a room together and say, what are you doing? I don't know. What are you doing? And let everybody have the same amount of respect.
Honestly,
you know, as
and,
everybody
yeah,
else
and
in the
creator.
Room.
The
blog storyline and say, make it all work together.
Not even. You don't even
I'm
have
just
to
saying
have.
If they need to.
Yeah, just say, you know, hey, I'm going to have Alfred's hand cut off, so if you're going to use Alfred in a book, make sure his hand's gone.
That's
pretty
saying.
Much the extent of
exactly.
it. Yeah.
Exactly.
But I mean, in the modern age where we follow writers and artists more than we follow superheroes,
exactly.
you really have to let them do
what
are
we talking about before the show,
you gotta
how blessed we are to be in the age of Rick Remender.
Yes.
He is at the top of his game on his independent stuff.
Yes.
Deadly Class, Black Science, Low. These are amazing books.
Really
is he not
books.
Writing Devolution over there at
yeah,
Dynamite
2? Dynamite too,
it's
yeah.
great.
I haven't read it yet.
I read
is
the
it?
First two issues. It's so fun.
Oh, that's
it's
awesome.
His social platform again saying how crappy we are as a society.
Oh,
that's
Remender.
That's hardcore
but, you know,
sci-fi,
we,
though.
But not only Rick Remender, we live in an age where Jason Aaron... is writing Star Wars, the goddamned Southern Bastards.
Southern Bastards so
his,
good.
His Thor
and
Doctor Strange
and
book.
Doctor Strange is revolutionary, revitalizing the character before the film comes out. So I think that's what we're going to see.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was needed, since Brian K. Vaughan's The Oath was probably the last time I liked
I
Stephen
agree.
Strange away from Hickman's Avengers.
Yeah,
in Avengers,
we live in an age... Jonathan Hickman wrote The Avengers... for 2 years, and it was unreal. It was unlike any event. It was unlike anything you'd ever read.
I keep saying we're in a new golden age of comics, and it's,
you mean that time? Whatever episode it is, that time that I tried to say it was a golden age of comics,
and
you
said
shat
no.
on me for like an hour
I think
straight.
It, I think
you
were
and Taylor
about it in a different context.
We're in a golden age of Marvel comics.
And
indie.
Actually, you know what? All you gotta do is diminish DC, and we're in a golden age of comics. You let them go.
DC
Valiant's doing well. Image is on fire. Marvel's incredible. Dynamite's doing well.
IDW
is unreal.
Their G.I. Joe event, their last G.I. Joe event, Cobra World Order,
mm-hmm.
huge ratings. People loved it.
Well, yeah,
people
actually,
are really
they
enjoying
took
it.
Characters from that and
yes.
then making action figures out of it.
Yes,
yes,
the Cobra World Order. Yes, yes. it's very yes. successful for them.
Well, they're making
Stiletto
action figures
one.
Out of
yes.
out of characters they make in their Transformers books.
Yeah.
Right, they are now.
Yeah.
Wimblade?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I was just kidding. Wimblade got a toy. And all the designs from.
Yeah, Victorian, too. She got one. The big.
Girl,
yeah,
combiner.
The girl combiner, yeah. female combiner. But yeah, they need DC really needs to start. This is turning into the shit on DC show.
This is every episode.
I am expecting huge things from Rebirth. Or they should sell to Marvel.
I just want to.
I will be the number
one
proponent of movies.
Maybe they could just stop printing everything but Batman and just focus on television.
All I want from DC
animated,
right now.
Animated.
They've always had good. All I want from DC right now is just a list of creators' names on books. I don't even need a synopsis of the book. Just tell me what it is you're doing.
Yeah.
So I can get excited about your book.
All New, All Different. While Secret Wars is still going on,
who was going to be on the book?
Who was going to be on what and what the book's name
Let's
was?
Let's go with what Adam said, you know, kicking back off what you said, and what DC does with those people. Creators. It's a creator-owned business. Fans follow the creators now.
Yes,
they don't follow
the books.
We don't
follow the books anymore.
You just said. What preview did we get today from Image Comics for the new Carrie Andrews book? I don't care what it is. It's Carrie Andrews' book.
Exactly.
It could say anything. I don't care
what
it's about.
You can tell me anything. You say that name.
He's writing and drawing it.
I'm done.
Exactly.
I'm done.
I don't care what it is. I'll read it.
The Iron Fist book was amazing.
Oh, my God.
The Iron Fist book was the
best Iron
Fist book I've ever read.
We're following creators.
Yes.
What? I mean, out of even the independents.
Yeah.
What publisher is the least successful at taking care of and keeping
DC? They can't keep anybody.
They had Jeff Lemire?
They had Jeff Lemire, and now he's...
They had Jeff Lemire first, they had Charles Soule first.
For God's sakes, they lost Jeff Lemire before he even went to Marvel to Valiant. Valiant said, hey, we'll let you do whatever you want.
He said, thank you.
Matt Kent?
Yeah, Matt Kent?
They had Matt Kent, and they lost him to Valiant, too. In fact, had, he's an exclusive
Matt
Valiant
Kent's
writer
a big
now.
Yeah, he's doing a lot over there.
Yeah,
4001, he loves... Because they let him do whatever he wants, and he works with amazing artists, dude.
Well, yeah, he's best friends
amazing
with Clayton
artists.
Crane, who's...
Don't fall over, Larry.
He's one of the most brilliant artists.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just really good stuff.
We need a topic for Larry.
Oh, let's talk about The Walking Dead because
books.
I hate
he owns
it.
A comic book shop.
No, I was working until like midnight last night.
We can
night.
Tell.
You say let's talk about The Walking Dead because
I hated it. Oh, yeah. I hated it. It's the first episode I watched in a long time.
Of The Walking Dead.
And I watched the episode where they came back. And it was awful. It was the worst paced episode of anything I've ever watched.
I'm not a fan of the series.
I'm not a fan.
Anymore.
You know what? I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch this episode and maybe try and give the show a chance again. And it was so bad.
It's
so bad because
it's run its course for me.
I liked the idea of the show earlier on because I liked the idea that it was going to deviate so far from the comic book that it could be something all its own.
But now it's becoming
this episode was every moment I hated in the comic book in one episode that culminates into a thing that I stopped me from reading the book ever again.
Right, and here...
and they're just like, that's
they
not fair.
Fixed
I don't,
it a little bit. It was done better in the show than it was the comic book. But yeah.
You're talking about the
Yeah,
and that's the dumbest thing that could have happened next to Rick losing his hand in the comic book, which they avoided. So, them avoiding Rick losing the hand, I'm thinking, surely they're going to avoid the Carl eye
turning
thing.
Carl into Arseface.
Oh, I can't believe it happens again. I just remember reading him like, oh, if you don't know by now, or you haven't seen that dumb picture of him with the hat down in the blood.
If you're watching, I'm sorry, it's a very popular show. I shouldn't hate on it so much, but I'm so...
Guys, the original selling point for people like me and Larry who really enjoyed reading the book
was the deviation.
Just the deviation. I don't want to run into, not that I'm afraid of Negan again, I want to run into Negan the exact same events that led me to Negan in the first place.
The reason I was attracted to the show early because there was a true fear that any character could die, and like in Game of Thrones, they do. They kill. They don't give a shit.
From the time that Shane stays too long and Carol dies early, I was like, okay.
They stay to Andrea.
Andrea, that's what I meant
they
to say.
Stay
Andrea
too
died
long.
Way earlier than she ever did in the book. I was
well,
like, okay, this
that
is cool.
Was awesome.
That was awesome.
But
no,
like
that
they kill people off. It's a zombie world. People are going to be dying.
Right.
Yes.
But you have to remember, in TV world for people, if they don't invest in the characters...
There's still time to invest, though. Andrew
but
was
that's
still
not,
pivotal.
That's not even my
Andrew
argument
still
with
pivotal.
What's going on.
I agree. But people watching TV get so invested in so many characters that if they drop it, kill them off, leave for the baby or whatever, they lose the show.
But that's not necessarily... That's not even my issue.
Yeah, Game of Thrones does
Game
keep...
Game of Thrones is... That's the whole premise of it.
But that is
that's
the whole
premise
of
Walking
Dead.
What I'm saying is there
people are taking it different with The Walking Dead.
There are some characters on... There are some characters on Game of Thrones that you cannot kill off. Tyrion Lannister, Daenerys. But
I am just glad
the same thing
that
with
they
the
actually
Dead.
Accomplished something in this episode.
The
first half of this season was just them jerking your chain for six episodes.
Yeah. I actually liked it.
I enjoyed the episode because
something happened.
Yeah. But the problem I was so afraid it was going to end. This was going to be the end of the season, and it was going to be like 12 episodes of showing me everybody's point of view of the same 30 seconds.
But no, but my only issue, actually the issue that takes me right out of the show again is, damn it, we really gotta go through all the same shit all over again? I've read the book. I watched the show because I read the book and I didn't want to get the...
It's not for
it's
you.
People like me, the reason why I got into it, I never read the book. I've
well, see,
seen it. I've flipped
but
through
but
it.
It should be totally different.
I agree.
I don't want any of the same things.
I agree.
For people like the core audience who's read everything already or has now started to
read. The core audience is now reading the book.
So why go back through this? Because now you're going to ruin it for them. Like, oh, great, now I know it. Because it got to a point where they were so far off the path from each other. And now they've met in the middle, and it's pretty much the same thing.
I'm just bored with
them. I can already, and that's my problem. Like, ah, well. I know what Negan's gonna do. I know what's gonna happen.
They can't do Negan as well as they do in the book.
No, they'll never. It's just like the Governor all over again. They're never gonna get back to how crazy that character is.
They're all untouchable.
I'm hoping in time.
It's not worth it anymore.
They're not gonna be in time.
But that's the thing. That's the whole pivotal moments of each season should be somebody important either getting seriously hurt or maimed.
Like somebody important did get seriously hurt.
But I'm just
saying it sounds like that way.
But I no, you're right. But it's not enough, man. It's not enough. It's not. We have this small group of people, and they've all been in this small group forever.
Right, but you're.
It's still close enough to the book that we know what's going on.
I agree.
I don't like it.
I was always hoping it never mailed as much.
It's less. There's.
I lost interest with the
less
too.
Fear.
For 100 issues.
Even in the book, there's less fear of you losing people.
But
exactly.
You have to realize just about in any group area, you're going to have a group of a smaller group of a bigger group. They're going to be there from start to finish, even in real life.
But I agree with Jules, this was one of the worst points in the comic.
And they made it just as bad in the TV show.
It was one of the dumbest things they did in the comics, and it's one of the dumbest things. And they did it. They did it better.
They did it. I will say that it's better. It's more believable
in the comics.
In the
show. He has a totally pierced brain.
Yeah.
Like, you can look and see through his head. So he should not be able to move if he survived half of his body, you know.
That's not necessarily true, depending on the length of time, because they have medically cut a whole half of a brain off or out of a person.
That one dude ate.
Okay, so he shouldn't wake up a week later and be able to.
No, not at all. I always hoped as a watcher that the comic, it referenced the stuff, like characters and maybe some of the situations, but never follow the comic or get that close.
I almost think it's funny, they're trying to like build on it. Like everybody, we all know that Glenn dies in the comic book, all of it, and they're trying to tease. Glenn dying in the show. And it's so stupid because every time they do it, it's like,
now you guys are going to
bitch about
Glenn dying.
No, because you know what?
I actually hoped he died.
I hated that Glenn died because of all the main characters that could have gone at some point in time was not the one to go. Rick should have died way earlier if you're going to kill a man.
I agree, but it's Rick's story.
And
Rick's going
to
die at the end of the book.
At that point,
it doesn't
too.
Have to be. They can ship that.
Yes, you know what?
He's not going to.
If, I'm just
they
saying.
Should have,
if
but
I've
not
said
going
it once,
to.
I'll say it again. Should have killed Rick off.
Yeah.
Should have let
Carl should have shot Rick here. Back in issue like 70-something.
Carl should have shot Rick. Carl should have became the leader with Glenn. That would have been a better paradigm shift. Should have killed Rick off a long time ago.
In the comic book,
he's like 15 now.
Oh, he's young. He was
young.
But it was like 7 when it started out. Yeah. And they did a huge time jump to get him to match up with the show.
Yes.
Wow, okay.
But earlier on, there's so many points where you should have just killed frickin' Rick and let Carl tell the rest of the
Bob
story.
Bob Kirkman's best stuff is irredeemable Ant-Man.
Totally agree. That's all 12 issues are his best story.
That's all I got to say.
In the show, you have even more opportunity because that Carl actor is getting really good, actually. The guy who plays Rick is getting older.
The comic book is going to end with Rick dying of old age, seeing Carl's grandkid carry his grandkid off or whatever.
Something stupid and cheesy because Kirkman's an idiot. But
I'd rather see him.
I thought the show, there's even more precedence to, like, just kill Rick already. Kill him. And no, Kirkman's like, I'm going to kill a main character off. If he's smart, you should kill Rick. Or Carl at this point, because after the bullet wound, it's really makes no sense that Carl was hanging on anyway.
I hate everybody in that.
And then so they kill the only character you care about at that point in time besides Michonne, and they kill Gwen. And it made zero sense.
I the show at the beginning, but yeah, I lost
because it. Was shocking, though.
Because if you read the comic book, Rick was nuts at that point still. Rick, like, stays crazy in the book for...
Carrying a phone with him.
He carries the phone forever.
Which, that was so awesome. And, you know, him, like, just caught periodically. Hey, Lori, what's up?
Yeah. That was one of the best parts of the book, was that he's nuts forever.
I have friends
that.
Talking about that in the how it happened in the show. How he's just in the room in the prison on the phone.
Yes.
And I'm like, now is there somebody on the phone? I'm like, no. They're like, how do you know? I was like, dude, trust me.
He's crazy as hell in the comics.
And they diminished that in the show quick, and I was like, okay, cool.
It's like one episode. It's like a nod to it.
It was. Yeah. Dude, in the comics, he's like carrying around a receiver.
The whole time.
Talking on it, like,
the whole time.
Oh god, it's weird.
He doesn't stop being crazy. I don't know, because when I stopped reading the book,
everybody
he was so
knows.
Crazy.
And like everybody
in
knows,
issue 100,
he's still
nuts.
Following him
but right, no, story-wise, he still has the phone.
Yes,
it's like in his house.
The issue that Glenn dies, Rick is still crazy as hell talking on the phone when everything's going down with the Saviors. He's got one arm and he's nuts. You're going to tell me Glenn can die and that guy can live?
You know
it still makes no sense
yes,
to me.
It
makes no sense.
Yes, it can make
he wasn't
sense.
Even the main character at that point. Michonne became the main character at that point.
In a situation as crazy as that
would
be.
Ice Cream Scoop the backstory with the boyfriend.
As crazy as the situation of
but Glenn was just as crazy.
Yeah, Glenn was crazy.
No, I mean, not Glenn, but Michonne
was
just as crazy.
Was just as crazy, yes. But
she had a samurai.
She had a samurai story. She had an interesting backstory at that point.
And they had to kill Glenn. And if you should have known it was coming.
Oh, I had to know it was coming because he was the only one getting anything done at that point. Because
he was moving on with his life and became a little
like
bitch.
Yes, yes.
It's all roses. He's got to die.
What are
you never seen that?
No.
Charles Soule, 27.
I never seen
that. Never seen
dude,
that
I'm
either.
All on him right now.
Renzo Podesta, too.
That's like one of his first books.
Oh, dude, that guy is awesome. His Inhumans world has just been a joy. And his Daredevil book is awesome.
That book's about all the musicians who died at the age of
27. Oh, I've heard of that.
I have heard of that book.
You got Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix.
Kurt Cobain, I think is in there, yeah.
There's another one.
The Doors singer.
Oh, Jim Morrison. Perhaps, yeah.
They all had a white light, too.
I'm sorry. My knees hurt.
There's a lot
of... I'm sitting too long.
There's
cool, what's up?
There's an interesting TED Talk about 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
I like TED Talk.
I do like TED Talk.
And it's
a
comedian
radio,
point
it's
thing.
It's
really
good.
Talking about how 4 o'clock is the worst time ever. It's referenced to be horrible and all these different things.
Huh.
Like multiple people have killed themselves at 4 o'clock in the morning. All these different
if
songs.
If you make it to 4 in the morning, nothing good can come of it.
Hey, if you have to get up for the 4 to 8 watch, trust me, it's one of the worst times of the.
Yeah. TED is technology, entertainment, design. And it's people who just get together and talk about that,
that
stuff.
Cool.
Brian Michael Bendis did a really cool TED talk.
J.J. Abrams did a really
so
cool
So did J.J. Abrams.
The Mystery Box.
Yeah.
I hate the Mystery Box.
I don't like it either.
But J.J. Abrams is a cool guy.
J.J. Abrams' Mystery Box discussion on TED, he brings out this box and shows you, this is the Mystery Box. And what he gets into is, you show people the box and you tell them there's a mystery in there. And that's enough. You don't ever have to show them what
Schrodinger's cat.
But it always
it's J.J. Abrams. It's always time travel.
It does kind of shoot him in the foot because he does just promise you
something. Shot him in the foot in Super 8. Lost shot him in the foot in Lost.
What's in the box? What's in the box?
What's in the box? What's in the box?
That's still a good mystery.
Yeah. But he really thought Schrodinger's cat was a really cool idea.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all he goes with. That, all of his work can be summed up except for Star Wars.
Star Trek 2, the mystery box shot him in the foot there too. In the darkness.
Well, because every time you get... Because at some point you have to open the box.
And the whatever's in the box is never as good as what's in your mind.
Where's your picture?
Of course not.
It's a really good
idea. Same thing with M. Night Shyamalan.
But it's actually more
like... And there's a twist!
That's different, though. He shows you what's in the box.
No, his is more like, what's the Russian doll thing?
Shows you the box, but never shows you what's in it.
What's the Russian doll
thing? But he does, and it's never
that. What is that called? All the dolls, the little dolls, and the dolls.
Well, he might show you, he might try to have a hook, but... It's more Shama Lama of the
Ding Dong. I always say Shama Lama Ding Dong, and I didn't want to say that. Yeah. Unfortunately, I say it every time I say his name.
M. Night Shama Lama Ding Dong.
That's what I call it. Because he made the villain.
2.5 good movies.
Yeah, no, the
Six
Russian
Sense
doll.
Was good.
Nesting Dolls.
What?
Six Sense.
Yeah,
it's 2.5 good movies. 2.5. And Unbreakable.
Yeah. Unbreakable's great.
Yeah, Unbreakable and
I like
the Bruce Willis ones were good.
But they
and then,
like
and then the size was okay.
I like the Village.
I hate the Village. That's the Russian doll. Like, here's a twist. There's another twist
Adrian
in this
Brody
twist,
is,
and there's one more twist in the twist.
Brody, he's perfection in that movie.
What movie?
Adrian Brody in The Village.
He's
perfection in that movie. And it's got Dallas Bryce Howard as a blind girl who nails it.
The acting is good.
What do you mean the acting? Joaquin Phoenix is in it, and he's
The Village would have been better without the twist at the end.
Oh, I like the twist.
Oh, man, no. Which one? The one where it turns out to be the elders the whole time? Or it turns out to be a weird freaking commune that's actually taking place as of right now?
Well, that's why they did it, though, because they wanted to keep the commune secret, even from the people in the commune.
Yes, I get that, but that's just, it was so bad at that.
I thought there was a moment there when they're talking about escaping society because society has become such a turd. There's a moment there where, wow, that's a really cool thing.
See that?
Well,
that was
I think that's
it was cool
part
at first,
of the appeal. When you become
cool
the liar.
It's, it's magic. Oh, I'm excited for magic. No, it's not magic. It's just people being weird. Okay, witch hunts. That makes sense. Oh, no, it's the modern day.
I was okay with that.
Thank you for
letting
me down.
What else did he do? He did this one with the elevator devil. Was that what it was?
He
that had moments.
He didn't direct that one. He just
produced that one. That's right.
And Michael Peña's in it.
And then there's one that M. Night Shyamalan did where Dallas Bryce Howard is a mermaid in a swimming pool at a hotel,
a lady
and there's
in the
one
water.
Dude who's really buff on one side. That movie is one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Isn't Paul Giamatti in that movie too?
Yeah, Paul Giamatti.
Paul Giamatti.
Paul Giamatti's the main character.
Yeah, Paul Giamatti is the main character in the movie.
The only reason why I watched the movie is to see the guy who's buff on one side.
Oh,
that's
so
weird.
He was like me when I was 13.
And he also made that really awful ass Airbender movie. And The Happening.
That does not exist.
The Happening. Remember that? Zoe Deschanel and Mark Wahlberg are about to get killed by some trees, ladies and gentlemen.
Movie, that was a great premise. But he didn't carry through.
It's like the worst zombie movie ever because there's nothing there. It's like they just forgot to CG everything.
Yeah.
It's like, just pretend there's zombies there and just trees the whole time.
It had some fun moments.
The freeze!
Oh no, the
there's
freeze!
There's a YouTube
Run away
video!
From the freeze!
Oh yeah. Go back and CG zombies into that movie.
And it's great, right?
They're running from nothing but wind.
There's some good directorial
2 hours.
There's some good directorial moments in there where
everybody died. All the other actors you wanted to see die in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
It's like a shot. The wind. It's a shot of a policeman's gun in the holster. And then you see his hand touch it. He goes up. He doesn't even show it going up to his head. He just shoots himself in the head. And then he falls over. And it follows the gun down.
Yeah.
And then this girl who you saw earlier standing there walks over, picks up the gun, shoots her. And then it does for like 3 or 4 people.
Does.
And it's just a really cool scene. Showing
that's
how
the
weird.
Only thing worthwhile in that entire movie.
It is.
And you're talking about.
Like a found a transformer.
Doesn't
he say that in that movie too?
Yeah. There's 30 minutes of mass suicide. That's the only thing that's like. And that's like after that, the
Run
movie
from the
is
trees.
Hilariously boring.
Yeah. It's in Philadelphia, like all M. Night Shyamalan movies, I take it for that reason. He was in the movie. What was the space movie or the alien movie with
Science.
No, that wasn't Skyline.
Science. What little girl doesn't ever finish a drink of water?
That's a halfway.
There's a scene in that movie where they eat what I call apocalypse dinner, Armageddon dinner, where they say, eat whatever you want.
Yes.
I've done this with my family three or four times, where we go to the grocery store, everybody gets what they want, and then we go home and cook it together. And that's the only thing I've taken away from that movie. There's a scene where Joaquin Phoenix is watching TV and he gets all freaked out. It makes a really good meme. It makes a really good meme.
They also all wear the
tinfoil. That's a good meme, too.
Actually, all the famous scenes are the worst parts of that movie, though, for me.
The part Hold on. Red Shirt Steve brings up that movie Signs, where Mel Gibson goes to his old lady when she got hit by the car.
Yes.
And M. Night Shyamalan's the one crying. Sorry. You know that one? That's a cool scene. Because if they pull the car away, she's going to
die.
Why
I hate that scene is the build-up, the shot of him just in the car. Just like,
but dude,
you're seriously going to sit in your car this entire time?
Dude, that would be a shitty thing to have to go do.
Yes, but get out of the car.
If you're a preacher, think about that. You're a preacher on top of
I get that, but you get out of the car first. You don't sit there and listen to this person tell you without turning the car off.
The car runs.
He hasn't seen it yet. He hasn't even seen it yet.
You haven't experienced.
I haven't.
I put myself in that position.
I hate those shots. I was like, okay, the inside of the Suburban is not that nice. Can we get out of the car?
Yeah.
But problem is where the shot. It's not just like
maybe he just needed a moment to collect himself.
I get that. And it's just the whole dialogue is somebody. I feel like I'm getting pulled over because M. Night Shyamalan was in the Suburban shooting that scene, so you get the entire interior.
But you have to think of this. How does anybody tell somebody, your wife's been basically crushed in half.
Dude, I think that's a new term of phrase.
I got that.
That's a new term of phrase I just invented. Crushed in half. Holy shit.
That is like,
No, and I understand
that's
that.
Brutal.
My problem is, actually, as a moviegoer, the car, the interior of the car is so busy, I stopped paying attention halfway through.
No, I'm
just like, oh, is he drinking coffee? Is that like a Starbucks thing?
Dude,
right
that whole movie's got problems.
How many
that whole movie's got problems because the only redeeming moments have nothing to do with aliens, which is what the movie was supposed
to
be about.
And then you get to the freaking, what, we could watch YouTube back then on television?
Who's that little girl who was the actress? She's been in some stuff, though. Wasn't she the little girl in the, no, she was in the last movie with the space movie with Catwoman and all right. You like that? Gravity.
Not gravity, but the other one.
Where they were talking about Interstellar.
Interstellar. Oh,
my brain works
like
the windows.
I didn't actually
and I had
see
to
Interstellar.
On start and go look for the file.
I haven't seen Interstellar yet, so.
Oh, it's pretty good. It's worth watching.
Oh yeah, she's Little Miss Sunshine in Zombieland. Zombieland.
Yeah,
little girl from Zombieland.
Right.
Science. Yeah. Zombieland. Little girl from Zombieland is a girl from Science.
Yes. There you go.
I do like Zombieland.
Yeah, I like Zombieland. So. She's been
in Little Miss Sunshine. That's Little Miss Sunshine.
She's been in other stuff.
Yeah, she's in.
That was a nice twisted movie.
What?
There's a twist. That's worth watching the whole fucking movie for. A little bit sunshine.
Oh, yes. Her grandfather was teaching her dirty dancing the entire time. And doing heroin the whole time.
There you go.
And goes on a Little Miss Sunshine pageant where a bunch of pedophiles are hanging out after their uncle tried to commit suicide because his gay lover left him.
It's like Powder. Everyone says, man, that's a great movie. You watch it, it's like, man, this movie sucks.
No, Powder's
No, that's a terrible movie. No, Little Miss Sunshine's awesome. All the characters are the worst people. The dad works for a pyramid scheme.
Yes.
The son wants to join the Air Force and worship Nietzsche, only to find out he's colorblind and can't join the Air Force. That movie's awesome! That's the best not for children movie I've ever seen.
Colorblind? A little girl going Force? To
no, you can't. No, you can't. If you're colorblind, no.
Kids are colorblind. I guess they can't be drafted. Huh?
Actually, yes, you can join the Air Force.
You can't become a pilot.
But you can't
become a pilot.
You can't join the Air Force.
That was his dream. That's what his dream was. He wanted to be a pilot.
You might as well join the Navy, right?
No, no. We got more planes than the Air Force does in the Navy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
But yes. But yeah. But that's that pivotal scene. Oh man, I love Little Miss Sunshine.
Shit up, Kinnear, Steve Carell. Just letting it go. You had a nap halfway through. I didn't get a nap.
For him, it's not even like, we've only been doing this for 30 minutes.
Dude, I looked over, I thought you were going to put your head on my shoulder.
Well, I told you that.
Yeah. Oh, that's the life of a small business owner, right?
That's it.
Yeah. I'm one day off this year so far.
Oh, no.
I'll figure out.
I don't want to get that old on us there. Is it aging you quickly?
How many 8-hour days have you had? Just eight.
Just eight.
None. Well, that's exciting. Oh, that's man. That's what he's had is vacation.
Go ahead.
Get your breath in.
No, I haven't had any 8-hour days. Except, well,
the one
there
day.
There might have been some
golf.
Sundays in that. That day, we only opened for 6 hours.
That's cheating.
Well, that's cool.
But, final thoughts?
We're glad take care of yourself. Yeah. Try to,
I'm still loving it, but it's just, I close,
burn out quick.
Close at midnight, and because we got shorted from Diamond, I had to go pick up some amazing Spider-Man for our box holders. And get here by 10, but of course, which I didn't get to take my nap this morning in between waking up Amanda and getting, because she's got to be at work early. She gets up at 7:30.
Wow, and you get up with her?
Yes.
Damn.
Good husband. Get up.
He is.
Make her coffee.
Hey, honey, the baby's crying. You better get up.
Man, I'm just going to say, I get up at, like,
getting up with my
wife. Get up at 5:36 every morning, and Elaine just sleeps the entire time. We'll get up for another 2 hours.
This doesn't mean to sound, perverted or anything, but Elaine to me seems like she's a sprawler. She, like, spreads out.
No, that's exactly.
I think she's like on the ottoman at the foot of the bed, saying goodnight, hon.
No, we're both. No, I'm not really, but I'm big. So we're laying, and as soon as I get up, that's like her favorite time.
Wham!
I can never go back to the bed.
It's like the Red Sea when they got across. It just wipes everybody. Yeah,
just takes over the entire bed.
That's how I am.
Sometimes I'll wake up, and I'll sit down. I'm like collecting myself, and her leg is already kicking me. It's like, you're not gone yet?
Get out of the bed.
Take it
to
today, old man.
She's the kind of she doesn't let you sleep through snooze more than once, right?
Oh my God.
Does she punch you in the face?
No.
Instead of hitting snooze, she hits you?
Her snooze is the most intense thing ever, and she hits it 6 times before she wakes up.
Yeah.
I'm always
she
like,
sets
hey, Lane,
like an
what
hour
time
early.
Are you waking up? Oh, 7. So you're waking up at 9, right? That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
7. That's 7:15.
That's awesome.
7:30.
Final thoughts.
All the way
to 8:30. Good night, Elaine.
Good night, Elaine. You said it before me, punk.
I asked you.
Be ready.
Amanda snoozes the same way. It's like, it wakes me up. And
and that's it.
Turn that off, please.
My one day off, that alarm wakes me up bright at 7 a.m. And I never go back to bed. She sleeps for 2 hours. So, final thought is be ready for Geek Log.
These are the adventures of the Starships Enterprise. And a really cool space station. And some other
a really awesome tiny ship.
Yeah, we're reviewing
all of Star Trek.
All of Star Trek.
In the movies. Even the bad ones.
By Stardate. So it's going to start off with slow and rocky.
Does that mean we have to do Voyage Home before something? No, I'm just kidding. Because, I'm kidding. I'm totally
no, because there would be some TOS episodes that go further.
Right. I mean, and then, you have
and Voyager,
trouble,
too, goes to
the
trouble
triple crossover.
There'd be a lot of
that. No, we're starting to
get
the start date of every movie and episode.
And technically, the first series we're watching does not have, Stardate has not yet been adopted.
No, not yet.
Well, that could be a reason to skip that.
Man, I had this great idea because, woo! This series is just not on my list.
I think I actually really like that series.
I like Enterprise, too.
You know, I will say, because of this podcast, it'll be the first time I finish it.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I never get past the first season.
The problem with Star Trek is the first season of every Star Trek show is always the worst.
They start off stumbling because they're not quite sure where they're going.
They're always bad.
But you know, I like it.
And the problem with Enterprise, it only lasted, what, like 3 seasons?
Four seasons.
Yeah, so we didn't have time to hit it.
Just like the original.
Yeah.
I have a lot of reasons why this show failed.
Yeah.
And I will get into those.
We will get into those.
In the very first episode. Because we're going to talk about it, like an overview of the whole
thing.
Because,
you know, the latter half. One of the key things that nobody thinks was the theme song. People hate it.
Right off the bat. First off, why even a theme song?
Getting from there to here.
Yeah, it's
I love it with lyrics. People are like, what the? This isn't Star Trek.
They took that from Firefly.
Yes.
That's why.
And you know, that's why it sucks. Because no Star Trek show has a theme song with the words. Yeah. I don't need a theme song with singing.
I will definitely get into this more on the first episode.
And we will.
Geek Log,
be excited.
Or Geek's Log. I think it's Geek's Log. I still have the PSD, so we can edit that. But
I like Geek's Log.
I think it was 9/11 that killed the show. I think they had a path that was a pre-9/11 path, and things changed. People did not want to watch war and things of that nature. They wanted to see things that Star Trek was more relatable to in its previous iterations. They wanted to see exploration and peace and things like
that. Right, because it very much was setting up, you know, like, the government's not right.
It was setting up for the Romulan War. It was all a temporal Cold War that was going on. There was interactions with the Vulcans. We were griping with them. The Andorians, for goodness sake. The Tellarites, who never hurt anybody. We were feuding with them.
Right, it was going to be what they
yeah.
The initial design was the start
I get a migraine.
Of getting the United Federation of Planets together
yes.
in the Romulan War.
Yeah,
I mean,
because they followed it through into the
book. You look at some of the things the Vulcans were doing throughout, like spying on the Andorians and all this other stuff.
You learn some stuff that you don't really want to know.
You could make unnerving parallels if one was so inclined.
Well, and I do that, and I'm going to do that in the first episode, so yeah, I can't wait to get to that. Yeah. But we can talk about that.
It was 05, actually. Later.
It ended in 05.
No, started in 05.
I do not think so.
I just looked it up.
I'm going to have to
Because Voyager ended in 01. And there was a 4-year gap between Voyager and Enterprise.
We're going to have to look into it. I'm going to have to
look it up, but I just use internet.
Too close to
I just use internet.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I was just thinking of something else.
No, it definitely has allusions to 9/11.
Yeah, sure. I agree that's one of the issues.
I remember listening to an interview with Scott Bakula where he says straight up that the later season.
September 2, it ended in 05. I was wrong.
See?
September 26, 2001.
Exactly. No, I thought I had thought that out right. I usually don't screw up my research.
It literally starts 6 months after Voyager. I think that's its other problem is honestly Voyager.
I don't think so. I think Voyager was good.
I think Voyager was great.
I think Voyager should have been on.
I agree.
Yes.
What I'm saying is I think it's a terrible follow-up to... DS9 ended 2 years before.
Yeah.
Then Voyager, and
the
then Enterprise.
Of Voyager was, and it was just such a, seemed rushed to me.
It was. Voyager it was seemed rushed. The end of it definitely. Endgame. Definitely.
But
yes.
Voyager and Deep Space Nine established what is such a cool new world within the Star Trek universe.
The galaxy got a lot bigger.
The galaxy got
in
a lot
Enterprise,
bigger.
The galaxy got
a
lot
smaller.
Smaller.
And I think
the start, but
yeah.
Right. But yeah, I think that the thing about Enterprise is the people who liked Enterprise and watched Enterprise were not really regular Trekkies. I feel like all my Trek friends didn't watch Enterprise, but all my Sci-Fi Channel friends watched Enterprise.
I think Enterprise was on Sci-Fi at one
point. It was on Sci-Fi.
Final thought, Adam. We're going into 90 minutes.
DC,
go home.
Sell me your shit.
Yeah, sell me some books.
I want to buy money.
I want to buy your stuff, but you got to sell it to me. You got to make me want to buy it. So make me want to buy it for once.
Put a good creative team on it.
Yeah,
put a good creative team that's going to put stuff out on time.
Marvel's and got give me something coming to read. Out. I want to spend money on it. Yeah. Jeff Lemire writing freaking Moon Knight.
What's I know the, nothing about that book.
I know nothing about that book, but that cover with him in the straight jacket,
what,
I want it.
What do we know about the T-Bolts book?
Nothing other than it's the regular T-Bolts plus Winter Soldier and Jim Zub.
Jim Zub
is writing it. I want it.
And who's doing the art?
I don't care. I don't know. I don't know. Somebody I like Jim Zub.
It doesn't matter because the artist will change after 5 years.
Yeah, true.
But Jim Zub?
Jim.
Writing Winter Soldier leading the team?
I will say.
I want it.
I will say that it's the one thing DC does better than Marvel. Is DC Zubovich. Has DC has like a set artist for a book. And Marvel flip flops. Yeah, yeah, I have an artist for like 5 issues and they can find a
completely. And I kinda like that. It does give them a consistency is always good, sure. But Marvel has been lately like having like a filler issue and then going back on a lot of their titles. Like Mahmoud Asrar, he's still the main guy on.
The thing about Marvel is they want you to crank it out more. And the writers can crank it out more than an artist can.
I said Jason Aaron's doing 5 books.
And he's like, what, 3?
A lot of art.
And then he's got his 3 indie titles?
Yeah. Well, ridiculous. I think that's all together.
Well, he's got Star Wars,
Thor,
Strange.
Okay. Oh, so 6.
Let's finish up final thoughts.
Go ahead.
Larry's got Steve. Larry needs a break.
Final thought.
That's my final thought. Larry needs a break.
Yeah, look out for that podcast.
Yeah, it's really just because I'm not moving around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen. It'll be a totally different game.
Good final thought there. Larry needs a break. Larry, you're going to burn yourself out, buddy.
We love you, Larry.
We love you. We don't want to see you burn out.
Story.
But my final thought. Oh, you want to go?
Go ahead.
Oh. My final thought is, yeah, definitely listen to that podcast. And we were talking about just before the show doing another one. And the CBI partnership with the Facebook group Comic Book Illuminati, and those guys, they've got a podcast and 2 more planned. We've got at least 1 more planned after the one we talked about today.
Yeah.
So
we got another one in the works.
We want to start getting the Geekly Debate up, but a different way.
Yes.
With a full-on moderator
and
2 people defending
system.
Side and point system where you can keep a tally. Keep into that. Go to outrightgeekery.com for all that
info.
That's
all I thought.
So my final thought, I wanted to mention Albatross Comics. It's being relaunched. It's Eric Powell's original indie label. He launched it back in the day. It was the original home of the Goon. He's relaunching some of the titles.
But not Goon.
No, Goon's staying with Dark Horse.
And it's done. I think. There's no more Goon.
Yeah. You know,
for now. Until we need some money.
There's definitely some neat things coming out there. I might have more on that later.
Awesome.
Still working on that.
Cool. We are all big fans of Pally's local guy.
Yeah.
He's really big into our local roller derby team, which is really weird. But good for him. Roller derby's awesome.
I met some of them.
Oh, they're great. Yeah. They're great people. But yeah, local guy, great artist and writer in his own right. I actually like his art more than I like his writing. But, like, he's created some great characters. The last mini I read from him called... Big Man Plans. Oh, my goodness. Such a little good... 4-book series, just little to the point. A good old-school, concise sort of writer, you know, who doesn't have any bullshit in there. No filler, just... Gets it in and, yes, gives you your money's worth.
It's definitely, he's always been a money's worth kind of guy.
Yeah, he's a dense sort of guy. Yeah, love his stuff.
So, one of the big things is he's doing a sequel to a book he launched back then on the Albatross originally called Satan's Sodomy Baby. And it's going to be called SS... SSB2. Okay. That's going to be the title because apparently having sodomy printed on the cover of a comic is a bad thing.
Oh, I'd buy it just for that.
Well, it's harder to get published.
This is his own publishing.
He's publishing it himself.
That is going to be exclusive through comic shops. And it's a one-print run thing.
Oh, fun.
He swears he's not going to do it digitally and never going to reprint it.
Oh, very cool.
Just as a bonus.
Now, wasn't there something else on Albatross that was really famous and popular?
There was a couple other small titles. They talked about some of the people coming back, but...
Yeah.
Like, they've all moved on to these different other things. Sure. There's a lot of people on Albatross that went on to do other things.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Cool.
Hopefully,
we can only get
we'll
good
get
things
to hear more about that in the future.
I hope so.
Maybe we'll get to hear directly if all works out.
Woo-hoo!
But anyway, come check us out in Madison, Tennessee, Comedy 2, or to find us online, Comedy2.com, or Outright Geekery, or on Facebook.com/Comedy2, or Facebook.com/Outright Geekery. All right, see you next time.
Yeah.
God, that was a long one, but good.